Revelation chapter 20 verse 14 all the way to chapter 21 verse 4. This is the word of God. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh, Father, we pray that you would increase our faith and help us in our unbelief. And Father, we pray that by your grace, as we hear your word, that our faith will grow. And with that growing faith, let us go and witness Jesus Christ and the love that he has shown to us. Oh, Father, do not leave us alone, but work in us through your Spirit, that he will teach us, he will make us understand and believe your word, and that he will make us to obey your word. Oh, Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is coming back, as we have been seen in chapter 20. He is coming back to judge the world. This sinful world is forever destroyed, and Satan and his beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. And all those whose names are not written in the book of life are also thrown into the lake of fire forever and ever. That's where we left off last time. And before we begin looking at chapter 21, let us look at this lake of fire, or hell. It is helpful for us to see where and what we have been saved from, so that our joy of salvation would increase. So it is important for us to study this subject of hell, because that's where we have been saved out of, saved from. And with that understanding, we are able to rejoice more and more. So today it's going to be a topical sermon. We're not really looking at verses in Revelation 20 or 21. Well, we're going to look at some verses from there. But I thought that it would be helpful for us, before we go on to chapter 21, that we would study the Bible and see what the Bible says about hell. The Bible does not teach that much about hell, but the Bible clearly teaches the existence of hell. To say that there is no hell is to go against the truth of the Bible. Some people might say, how can the God of love create such thing as a hell? Well, all those who say such thing does not accept the clear teaching of the Bible. We must understand hell in terms of the eternal judgment of God. It is not that God just wants to torture people. Hell is the just and due punishment of righteous God's eternal judgment for sin. As we understand the great degree of the punishment, we understand the seriousness of our sin against God. You know, how do you know that whatever sin that you have committed is serious? Well, you look at the punishment that is attached to that sin. So, even in this world, if you have to pay $50 fine, whatever you did, you don't take that seriously because it's only $50 fine. But whatever you did, the punishment is like, you know, life in prison, or even, you know, they have to execute you, then you know that whatever you have committed is pretty serious. So the same concept applies here too. Our sin, whatever that is, the punishment is hell. And you might think, wow, that's too much. I only did this. And then you don't think much of it, but you say, whoa, that deserves hell. Isn't God overreacting? But see, you have to look at backwards. You look at the punishment that is attached to whatever you have committed. And by there, you understand how serious that sin is, even though you might think it lightly. Hell is the just and due punishment of righteous God's eternal judgment for sin. There are those who teach the universal salvation. Thus, even if there is hell, they teach that no one goes there according to their teaching. And this is also not biblical. And also there are those who even accept the existence of hell and the painful punishment of it, but the punishment they teach is not eternal. After a while, all of the inhabitants of hell will be forever annihilated and no longer exist. Again, this is not a biblical teaching. Well then, let us look at what the Bible teaches. First of all, like heaven, hell is eternal. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41b, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angel." So Jesus is very clear in that passage that non-Christians will go into the eternal fire. Matthew 25, verse 46, "These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So in that passage, God divides the whole humankind into two groups, and one group will go into eternal fire, eternal punishment, but the other group will go into eternal life. And if the eternal punishment is not eternal, then eternal life is also not eternal. So if you want to teach that hell, punishment of hell is not eternal, like some people do, then by the same token that eternal life is not eternal. But that just doesn't make any sense. So Bible is very clear. The hell, like heaven, is eternal. Biblical teaching is that both eternal punishment and eternal life are eternal forever and ever. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9a says, these, meaning non-Christians, will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord. So there the punishment is described as the what? Penalty of eternal destruction. Isaiah 66 verse 24 says, then they will go forth and look on the corpses of men who have transgressed against me, for their worm will not die and their fire will not be quenched, and they will be an abhorrence to all mankind. So, description of hell is that the fire will never quench. It will be forever and ever. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Verse 43. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire. Now, you know, we cannot take this verse literally. I mean, if we take this verse literally, I don't think there's any organ that will be left for us. Because, you know, we sin all the time. So obviously, that is not what God is saying. But you have to understand the meaning of this verse. This is about cutting off. Well, what's the meaning of it? Well, if there's anything that would prevent you from loving God, you have to cut it off. That could be your job, that could be whatever. Because it's better to love God without whatever that you're holding on to, then go to hell with it. Now, obviously, you know, again, we cannot take this literally, but here again, the hell is described as the unquenchable fire. And if you go down to verse 48, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So, Bible is very, very clear. Hell is eternal. It's not like some people say that, you know, these sinners will go to hell and they will be tormented, but not eternally, only for a little while. Then after that, God will just, you know, make them exist no more. But that is not what the Bible teaches. So that is the first point. Second of all, hell is a place of eternal punishment. Thus, there is eternal pain. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. If you go to chapter 14, I'll read from verse 10. Well, let me read from verse 9. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So, it is very, very clear hell is all about eternal torment, and there is no rest forever and ever. It is described as in chapter 19, verse 20, the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. Chapter 20, verse 15 is called lake of fire. Pain, as if you are burning in fire, is a symbolical language. Fire here, obviously, we cannot understand fire as the fire of this world. But by fire, we are able to picture the pain and torment. Some believe that this fire is the Holy Spirit in eternal judgment. For God is called the consuming fire. For these people, hell is not the absence of God, but God is present only in His judgment. And that is not, wrong thing to say. But eternal fire is also a picture of the eternal thirst. Luke chapter 16, go there with me. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Very famous story, so you probably know this story. Let me read it to you, verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, meaning hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. So, we get the picture of hell in this passage. Of course, here, the thirst is not just the physical thirst. It's more spiritual thirst that only God can quench. So, remember these things. Hell is eternal, and hell is place of eternal punishment. And the Bible also describes hell as the darkness. It is a picture of the opposite of creation. You know how a creation began? God says, let there be light, and the creation began. But darkness is going backwards. It's a complete decreation or eternal destruction. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me just read that to you without waiting for everyone to get there. Well, I guess you're going to get there first. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. So there, hell is described as a pit of darkness. Go down to verse 17. These are springs without water and mists driven by a storm, for whom the black darkness has been reserved. Black darkness. Go to Jude. Now, where is that? Well, that is right before Revelation that we're looking at. Letter of Jude, a very short letter, only one chapter. That's why we don't even, when we refer to verses, we don't even say chapter. We say Jude 6. It means verse 6. Jude 6, and angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Go down to verse 13. While waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness have been reserved forever and ever. And in the parables of Jesus in Matthew, non-believers are always cast out to the darkness. Matthew chapter 8 verse 12 says, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into the outer darkness. The sons of the kingdom, not God's kingdom, but this earthly kingdom, will be cast out into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you go to Matthew 22, verse 13. Then the king said to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 25, verse 30. Same thing. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 9b says, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. So far we looked at this hell in terms of, you know, it's eternal and its place of eternal judgment, punishment, and hell is described as darkness. Now, hell, according to the Bible, is the eternal separation from God, eternally abandoned by God. Eternal death for God is the only source of true life. It is second death, the eternal spiritual death. That's what our passage in Revelation teaches us. Chapter 20, verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Chapter 21, verse 8. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is the spiritual reality of the non-believers. Even as they live here, they're dead spiritually. Just like you, Christians, even as we live here on earth, we're already resurrected into that glorious life of heaven. Just like it, non-Christians, even though they are walking around, they're spiritually dead. That is what the Bible teaches. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And you go down to verse 12. Remember that you were at that time, when you didn't believe, separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Hell is a place of eternal abandonment of God. God completely abandons you forever and ever. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. So, sending somebody to hell, it is described as departing from God. Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verses 24 through 27. Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us. Then he will answer and said to you, I do not know where you are from. So here the picture is what? That once, let me read all the way to verse 27. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers. So again, it is described as departing from God. Do you remember Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were cast off, kicked out of God's presence. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me read verse 8 and 9. 8 and 9. Dealing out retribution to those who do not know God. This is what happens when Jesus comes back. And to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So, Bible teaches us that hell is about what? Being abandoned by God forever and ever. You are separated from God forever and ever. Hell is hell because God is not there. Heaven is heaven because God is there with us. Heaven is not heaven for us if God is not there with us. For us, heaven is not heaven just because it is a good place. No, heaven is heaven because Jesus is there. Hell is a place of abandonment. God forever abandons the non-Christians as He tells them He does not know them. Now, we've been studying what the Bible teaches about hell. Is it eternal? Is it a place of eternal punishment? There's torment there. And it is darkness, and it is also separation from God, God abandoning you. Now, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as you know, and I know, you and I, we also deserve this punishment of hell from God. And that is the fact. But for us believers, hell has nothing to do with us anymore. And this is the good news that I am able to tell you, that all of you who believe in Jesus Christ, hell has nothing to do with you anymore. But the question is, why? And how? Even though you deserve this punishment of hell, how and why you do not receive it anymore? What happened that even though we are sinners who truly deserve the eternal judgment of hell, that now hell has nothing to do with us? And you already know the answer. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior on the cross, received the judgment of hell for us in our places. Do you remember those four things that we talked about hell? Well, first of all, Jesus Christ is our eternal God. Thus, even though He died on the cross for a few hours, because He is eternal, was able to handle the eternal judgment of God in those few hours. So hell is about eternal judgment. And Jesus Christ, even though He died upon the cross for a few hours, because He is eternal, He is able to handle eternal punishment within those few hours. And second thing, hell is about a place of punishment. There is torment. Jesus Christ, our eternal God, on the cross, He received the punishment of hell, the torment of hell for us in our places. And because He is eternal, infinite God, He was able to handle all the punishments that are due to all of his people. And remember, we talked about that torment in connection with fire, and there's thirst. Not only physical thirst, but more importantly, spiritual thirst. But in John chapter 19, verse 28, on the cross, Jesus cries out, what? I am thirsty. Do you see Jesus being tormented? And he's thirsty. Just like this rich man who we saw in hell who was thirsty. Jesus is receiving that punishment that you and I deserve. And go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Remember those four things about hell is eternal and its place of punishment. And the third one was what? It was place of darkness. Judgment of darkness. Matthew 27 verse 45. This is what happened when Jesus was dying on the cross. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. When Jesus was dying on the cross, the darkness came. What does that show? That Jesus is receiving the punishment, the judgment of hell. And the fourth thing, hell is about being forsaken by God, being abandoned by God. Go down to verse 46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? He dies on the cross, the eternal death, the eternal abandonment of God. Do you see it, brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ? Look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see how your Lord Jesus Christ is receiving all the punishment and all the judgment of hell for you in your place? This is amazing to me because we've been looking at Bible passages that tells us of hell. And description of hell is in terms of what Jesus has experienced on the cross. That's what the Bible does. That's how the Bible describes hell in terms of Jesus' experience on the cross. Eternal torment. Eternal punishment, eternal darkness, eternal abandonment of God. So this is what you need to see. Even as we learn about hell from the Bible, what are we looking at? What are we learning? We learn what Jesus Christ has done for us. Jesus Christ received all the punishment and all the judgment of hell for you in your place. Thus, for us who are in Christ, there is no judgment of God. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Thus, let us repent of our sins and let us love him more and more. Do you see it on the cross, what Jesus has done for you? God loves you so much. He desires a sweet fellowship with you. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the proof of his love for you. Even though your life is full of sufferings and pain, be encouraged. Continue to have your eyes focused on Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And from chapter 21, which we will start looking at next week, look at your eternal reality. See, hell is has nothing to do with you anymore. But what we read from verse 1 of chapter 21, this is your eternal reality. And we're going to start studying that next week. Chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, let me read that to you and we'll end that there. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace upon your people. Oh Father, how we truly deserve all the punishment of hell forever and ever. But Father, we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ has received all that punishment for us in our places. Thus, in Christ, there's no condemnation anymore. There's no judgment anymore. Father, as we look at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us see how much you love us. And that love will compel us to live that glorious life that you have called us to live. Bless your people and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.